I'm Mike McCurdy at Sound Ideas for U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, the minority whip, the highest-ranking Illinois Democrat, and a man in office for decades. There aren't a lot of new constituencies to cultivate. Durbin is spending his time focusing on rallying the troops over health care. He visited Chestnut Health Systems in Bloomington to promote community health centers and the Affordable Care Act. GLT's Charlie Schlenker was at a Durbin news conference where the senator addressed the question of whether the effort by Democratic Senator Patty Murray and Republican Lamar Alexander to revive a health reform bill will happen in an open fashion. Efforts at change haven't been notable for openness so far.
When the Republican-controlled Congress tried to do this on their own, no help from any Democrats, they passed the bill in the House of Representatives by 4 votes. If 2 members of the House had voted the other way, it would have failed. Then it came to the Senate, and it didn't pass. They tried 3 different versions. They all failed. They couldn't get the Republicans to vote for them. So at that point, this single-party, take-it-or-leave-it approach ended. And then they started the conversation about the traditional, regular order, take it through the committee, Democrats and Republicans, work on amendments together. That to me is promising, but we've wasted 7 months. We should have been doing this all along. I trust Lamar Alexander, Republican of Tennessee, and Patty Murray, a Democrat of Washington, to come up with good alternatives. I'm sure that they'll be part of their suggestion that I don't like at all. That's the nature of compromise in the legislative world. But if at the end of the day we don't take away health insurance coverage but protect what we have and try to expand it, if at the end of the day we make sure that health insurance is still something that's within the grasp of a family with someone with a pre-existing condition, if at the end of the day we have built into the system a way to protect Medicaid and its future needs, then I'm on board. I want to be part of it.
What do you think of some of the trade-offs might be for Democrats and Republicans?
Well, they keep talking about giving the states more flexibility. Watch out for that word flexibility. It usually means less money. And even Governor Rauner, Republican governor of our state, wrote to the members of the delegation, congressional delegation, and opposed the Republican plans, saying that it would cost Illinois billions of dollars in Medicaid reimbursement. I worry about this so-called flexibility. I just don't think it's there. If we don't do something proactively, medical care inflation goes up faster than regular inflation. If we do something aggressively to reward quality outcomes and keep costs under control, we can slow it down. That's the best we can do. And I worry that if you give a fixed amount to a state or a limited amount to a state and medical inflation takes off, fewer people have protection.
The deal killer on the Republican side appears to be the individual mandate. What do Democrats have to offer to the GOP to still get the numbers enrolled to support the overall system of insurance?
That is a key to it. And what it boils down to is what I mentioned earlier, the individual health insurance marketplace. Who ends up in that marketplace? People whose income, who don't have health insurance through their employer, although most of us do, most Americans do. They don't have health insurance through their employer, and they're not wealthy enough to pay anything that's charged, and they're not poor enough to qualify for Medicaid. So they end up in this insurance marketplace, looking at the silver, gold plans and all the options that are out there, and they try to pick one that they can afford. The costs keep going up because the first people who jump to get in line there are older and sicker. They're the ones who say, I need this. The premium may be high, the alternative is unacceptable. No care or care that bankrupts me. So you have a pool, 6% of Americans in the individual marketplace that is filled initially with older, sicker people. Now, if insurance is going to work, you also have to bring into this insurance pool younger, healthier people who aren't going to turn in a lot of claims. Now we find ourselves in a position where there aren't enough of them. So the health insurance premiums, the scary stories you hear, are about people older, sicker, paying these in premiums. So what are we going to do about it? You know, Massachusetts came up with a way. They said, we're going to pick a number, and if you don't buy insurance in Massachusetts, you're going to pay that number. In other words, you are required as an individual to buy health insurance in Massachusetts, or you're going to face a penalty. It worked. Over 95% of people in Massachusetts signed up. We tried to find that number at the federal level, and we're still looking for it. I don't think we've come up with a good number yet that would be a penalty on your income tax if you didn't buy health insurance. But that is the stick that might bring people into it. The alternative that's been kicked around is, what if we just take this group, the 6% and said, we're going to treat you differently. We're going to give you basic Medicare Plus, Medicare Advantage programs, insurance policies that are available, and we may have to subsidize it. But we're going to take care of that that group. The employer mandate is another one that is tough. And most employers provide health insurance, but many do not, and they argue it's too expensive. I hear this a lot from restaurants and hotels, and they say our people are younger, healthier, don't want health insurance, would rather have a pay raise. So we're not going to provide them health insurance unless you tell us we have to. And if we do, we'll cut their wages. That's a tough trade-off on the situation. But between, you know, the individual and employer mandate, I think we can move to a point where the number of people uninsured in this country is getting smaller and smaller each year. I haven't given up on it, and I think it's worth the effort.
U.S. Senator Dick Durbin speaking with GLT's Charlie Schlenker. Durbin said if President Trump stops making support payments to insurance companies, premiums will spike by 20% and 1 million Americans will lose coverage next year. He also says a recent study showed that Illinois community health centers like the one Chestnut operates saves 27% in total spending per Medicaid patient compared to non-health center providers. That's because the various care needs are integrated in an overall patient plan. You're listening to Sound Ideas on GLT and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media.